我们一起来为今天的信息祷告。
Let's pray together.
亲爱的父神，我们感谢赞美你。
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you.
孩子将今天的信息交托在主你的恩手当中。
We put our message today in front of you.
求主保守孩子的口。
Please bless my mouth.
也保守我们众弟兄姐妹们的心。
Also bless the heart of brothers and sisters.
使我们讲的听的都同感一灵。
So the one that preaches and the one to hear can inherit the same spirit.
是给我们有同一的看见
so that we can have the same view,
有同一的心智
and we can set our mind in the same way,
和同一的脚中
and,
同一的脚中
so we can walk the same path,
一生与主你同行
and we can walk with you for the rest of our life,
与我们同在
be with us,
我们的感谢和祷告都是奉我主耶稣基督的圣名
our praise and thanks is in the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen,
Amen.
好，今天是我们十架载入系列的第30讲，也是最后一讲。
Today,
复兴之路。
Today we're going to be talking about the 30th series of the 30 sermons of the series of Cross and Narrow Road. This is also the final sermon. The topic for today is the road of revival.
整个十架载入系列基本上是按照一个基督徒信主后的各个不同阶段来讲的，从信主到长进，再到服事。
This entire series is set in an order of different stages in the Christian's life, from believing in God to growing God and then to serving God.
那么这最后一讲呢，我们要讲的是关于教会的建立和教会的前进的方向。
And in the last topic, we're going to be talking about this, establishment of the church and the direction of the ministry.
我要讲的第一点呢，是基督是教会的建立者。
The first point is Jesus is the founder.Of the church.
你可能会想，我又没有想当传道人，我根本不用去思考教会是怎么建立的。
You may think I'm not planning to be a pastor, so I don't have to think about how to start a church.
麦克阿瑟牧师他也是这么想的。
And this is how exactly Pastor MacArthur also thought.
他在一次访谈中说，他说我没有兴趣建立教会，建立教会是耶稣基督的事情。如果我想要建立教会的话，我就会成为耶稣基督的竞争者，而不是仆人。
In one of his interviews, he said, I'm not interested in building a church. Building a church is what Jesus Christ does. If I want to build a church, then I become the competitor of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer the servant of him anymore.
哥林多前书第三章第九节，保罗说：“因为我们是与神同工的，你们是神所耕种的田地，所建造的房屋。”
In 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's fields, God's building."
耶稣基督是教会的建立者，而我们是与神同工的。
Jesus Christ is the founder of the church, and we are the co-worker of God.
因此，凡是服侍教会的人需要有这样的心智。
So whoever wants to serve in the church needs to have a mind like this.
因为我们晓得是主耶稣亲自的在建造教会。
Because we know on the matter of building a church.Jesus built the church by himself.
他有他自己的原则。
He has his own principles.
而我们与神同工的，我们需要明白主的原则，才不至于破坏神的工作。
And us as co-workers of the God, we need to understand those principles so we don't destruct God's work.
或者是做出草木和结的工程来。
Or build our work with wood, hay, or stubbles.
不按照神的心意的建造呢，最后都是违章建筑，都要被拆毁的。
All the work that is not following God's will is illegal works. It's going to be destructed.
所以我们宁可什么都不做，也不要在违背神的原则的道路上去努力的服事。
So we would rather do nothing at all than doing a ministry that's against God's principle.
我给服事打了引号，是因为呢，不按照神的心意的服事呢，就不是服事神。
I give this ministry a double quotation because a ministry that's not following God's will is not really a ministry.
所以我们需要知道一些原则。
So we need to know several principles.
教会的建立是为了神的荣耀，而不是为了人的需要。
The foundation of the building a church is to glorify God. It's not to satisfy what human need.
是高举神，而不是高举人。
It is to exalt God, not human.
是传以神为中心的信息，而不是传以人为中心的信息。
It is to preach a message that's centered in God, not in human.
是用神的方法，而不是用人的方法。
And it's with God's methodology, not human's way.
这些道理呢，不是只有牧师长老知道就可以了，是每个基督徒都需要知道的。
These principles are not just for pastors and elders. This is necessary for every Christian.
因为在守护教会的职责上，我们是一同有份的。
Because we share, we have our share in the responsibility of protecting the church.
我发现有相当多的华人教会，它呈现出来的面貌是缺乏稳定性的，很容易波动。
I found a lot of the Chinese Christian churches are they also appear to be unstable and easy to fluctuate.
如果他的牧师是改革中的，他就像一个改革中的教会。
If the pastor of that church is a reformed, then it looks like a reformed church.
如果他换一个灵恩派的传道人，他很快又会像灵恩派的教会。
And if there is a charismatic preacher come, then that church become like a charismatic church.
从保守派的教会到自由派的教会，他可能只需要短短的十几年的时间。
It may only take 10 years to change a church from being conservative to a liberal church.
这些都说明教会的会众平均而言，信仰的根基太浅薄了，邻里是糊涂的。
This is an indication that the average foundation of the faith of the congregation is too shallow. And it's confusing spiritually. They are also confused spiritually.
所以很容易就被异教之风掳去。
And this makes them very easy to be taken captive by the pagan trend.
如果全体会众的根基都扎实，灵里都明亮的话，那么对于一点点跑偏的倾向，都会非常的敏感，根本不会给假教师留下任何去毒害我们的机会。
But if the entire congregation has a firm foundation and is clear spiritually, and they will be sensitive to even the slight tendency of deviating from the truth, then there would be no chance for the false teachers to do any damage to the church.
有位牧师说过，如果一个教会啊，牧师走了之后就垮了，说明这个教会是很弱的。
A pastor once said, if a church collapsed after a preacher left, then this church is so fragile.
反过来，如果牧师走了，这个教会一样可以保持原有的信仰立场，并且很好的运转的话，说明这个教会很成熟，根基很好。
But if a church is still able to maintain its original faith, the foundation of it, even after the pastor left,And this means the church is a very mature church. It has a very solid foundation.
所以一个忠心的传道人，他所追求的目标就是让自己在教会里面不可或缺的程度是越来越低的。
So the goal for a very faithful preacher should be to help the church to be less dependent on him.
这个是神的仆人的舍己。
And this is the self-denial of the God servant.
所以这些神本的原则，它不单单是教会发展的方向。也是我们单个基督徒生命成长的方向。
So these God-centered principles are not just the direction where a church should be going. It's also where it also was directed each of the Christians' individual life.
因为教会的成长不仅仅是人数的增多而已，也是每个基督徒的属灵生命的成长和成熟。
Because of the growth of the church is not just in numbers, it's also in the maturity of a Christian's life.
那么这些原则概括起来啊，就是四个字：十架载入。
If we put a summary of the principle, we put a summary of those principles, then there's only four words describing it. It is the cross and the narrow road.
那么我们再来讲第二点，什么是复兴
？And then we're going to talk about second point. What is a revival?
做传道人的，无论是真传道还是假传道，都喜欢教会兴旺。
If you are a preacher, regardless whether you are a true preacher or a false preacher, you want to see a church thriving.
复兴呢，也是常常挂在一些传道人嘴边的词。
For that reason, they talk about revival all the time.
在圣经中的复兴呢，指的是神的子民在侍奉神的热情上有显著的提高。
In the Bible, revival means a remarkable improvement in devotion to God by God's people.
于是呢，很多人就把教会人数兴旺、奉献增多、事工火热当作是复兴。
So many think of revival as having more people, more offerings, and more ministries.
但这些都不是真正的复兴。
But none of those are true revival.
如果我们不明白什么是真正的复兴的话，这个复兴的口号可能会成为像叶公好龙一样的闹剧。
If we don't really truly understand what revival means, it might just turn into another farce, like the Chinese saying 叶公好龙 It means something that he thinks he likes, but he actually doesn't.
有个臭名远扬的自由派教会啊，不知道怎么地请错人了，把保罗华许请去带领他们的退休会。
There was a very notorious liberal church. Probably they invited the wrong preacher, and one day they invited Paul Washer to their retreat gathering.
他们说我们要复兴。
They shouting, "We want revival."
华许牧师说不，你们不想。
Pastor Washer says, "No, you don't."
他们说为什么不呢
？They're asking, "Why don't we want revival?"
华许牧师说，因为神的灵临到这里的话呢，你们中间可能有一半的人要死掉。
Pastor Washer says, if the Spirit of God is present with you today, half of you may die.
保罗华许牧师绝非危言耸听。
And Paul Washer isn't really threatening them.
因为哥林多前书里面使徒保罗警告过一模一样的事情。
Because in the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has warned very similar thing.
我给大家读一下哥林多前书十一章的27-30节。所以无论何人不按理吃主的饼喝主的杯，就是干犯主的身主的血了。人应当自己省察，然后吃这饼喝这杯，因为人吃喝若不分辨是主的身体，就是吃喝自己的罪了。因此在你们中间有好些软弱的与患病的，死的也不少。
This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27-30. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in the unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then and so eat of the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died.
为什么圣餐是一件这么严肃的事情呢
？Why the Holy Communion is such a serious thing？
因为这是圣洁的神临在在他的子民中间。
Because this is the presence of the Holy God among His people。
罪人是无法面对这个圣洁公义的神的，见到就是死。
The sinner cannot be in presence of the Holy God. The moment they see the God, then they will die.
除非什么呢？除非我们穿上义袍，披戴耶稣基督，你才能够面对圣洁的神。
Unless we wear the robe of justice in Jesus Christ, that way, that's the only way for us to be able to see the Holy God.
而当时哥林多教会里面很多人，他们轻慢圣餐，他们甚有的喝醉酒。
But at that time in the Church of Corinthians, a lot of people looked down upon the Holy Communion. Some people even got drunken in the Holy Communion.
保罗说，如果你不分辨这个是主的身体的话呢，你就是在吃喝自己的罪。
Paul is saying, if you eat and drink without discerning the body, then you are eating and drinking judgment on yourself.
因此呢，结果呢，就是哥林多教会呢，有一些软弱的、病的，甚至是死的基督徒。
And the outcome is that the people in the Church of Corinthians has illness, are weak, and they have even some of them died.
所以保罗华许啊，他不是在吓唬人。
So Paul Washer isn't just really intimidating them.
那些活在最终不想要悔改的人，他其实并不是想要真正意义上的复兴的。
Those who still live in their sinful life and does not want a repentant, they don't really want revival.
真正的复兴是神做成的，不是人操纵出来的。
A true revival is what God does. It's not manipulated by human.
它是神的大能临在在他的子民中间的结果。
It's a result of God's presence in His people.
这个是第一点。
This is the first point.
第二点，真正的复兴一定带着向神的话语的归回。
On the second point, a true revival must be accompanied with returning to God's word.
以斯拉记里面记载了以色列人从巴比伦归回之后的一次属灵上的复兴。
In the book of Israel, it recorded one event when Israel people returned from Babylon, they had this true spiritual revival.
以斯拉记中反复出现的一句话就是照摩西律法书上所写的。
In the book of Israel, it repeatedly continued to bring up this sentence, as it is written in the book of Moses.
为什么要强调这个？
Why this sentence is repeated so many times?
因为他们以前是乱拜偶像，偏行己路的。
Because the Israel people used to be worship idols and walk on their own crooked way.
现在他们悔改了，与偏行己路相反，就是按照神的清楚的吩咐来行事。
And now that they repented,And contrary to walking their crooked way, they are walking based on God's clear command.
那个时候呢，可不像现在，不是每个人都有圣经的。他们是怎么知道他们自己所行的是按照神的吩咐呢？
Back then, it wasn't like now where everybody has a Bible. So how do they know whether they are walking in God's command?
因为他们有一位很好的圣经教师，就是以斯拉。
Oh, they get help from a very good Bible teacher, that is Israel.
以斯拉记第七章的第十节，我给大家读：以斯拉定制考究遵行耶和华的律法，又将律例典章教训以色列人。
In Book of Israel, chapter 7, verses 10, for Israel had set its heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel.
请注意这节经文中的几个动词啊，考究、遵行和教导。
Please pay attention to the verbs in these verses: study, do, and teach.
新约圣经中，文士和法利赛人啊，一起成为了贬义词。
In the New Bible, in the New Testament, scribes and Pharisees become a derogatory terms together.
但是文士的本质工作是研究神的话语，这样的职位呢，本身是中性的，而且是十分必要的。
But the job of a scribe was originally just to study God's word. This should be a neutral position, and it's a very necessary position.
以斯拉是个文士啊，所以研究神的话语呢，就是他的本质工作。
Israel himself is a scribe, so studying God's word was his original job.
如果你自己对神的话语理解非常肤浅的话，你拿什么去教给别人呢？
If you yourself have a very superficial understanding of God's word, what are you going to use to teach others?
其次呢，以斯拉他言道，他也行道。
And the second, Israel not only studied the word, but he also do according to the word.
一方面呢，这个是以身作则。传道人如果自己不行道的话，别人就会轻看你所传的道。
On one hand, this is leading by example. If the preacher doesn't have his own action based on his preaching, then why would others treat your preaching seriously?
另外一方面呢，行道呢，会加深这个人对道的认知。
But on the other hand, doing is also a way to deepening people's understanding on the word.
仅仅存在头脑中的知识啊，和你生命中真实经历的知识是大不相同的。
What you learn through an actual experience in real life is very different compared to just mere knowledge in your head.
对于一个行道的人来说啊，圣经的话语呢是活的。
For a doer of the word, God's word, the Bible's word is lively, is living.
最后呢是教导，因为神的心意呢是要他的子民认识他，所以神的话语的教导是传道人最最重要的职责所在。
And the last verb is teaching, because God's will is to have His people to know Him. So most important responsibility for a preacher is to preach God's word.
这个正是真正的复兴当中基督徒对神的话语应该有的态度，就是考究、遵行和教导。
These three words, study, follow, and teach, summarize the true, the attitude that Christians should have in the true revival.
对于不是圣经教师的基督徒来说，教导可能改成传扬比较合适。
For somebody who is not a Bible teacher, for a Christian that's not a preacher, maybe we should change the word teaching to spreading.
而在这些之前啊，还有一个动词就是立志。
But before all these verbs, there should be another verb, that is set his heart.
人对神的悖逆呢，是从心里面开始的。
People's rebelling against God started in the heart.
同样呢，人对神的顺服也是从心里的立志遵行神的话语开始的。
And similarly, the obedience to God also started from his heart, when he set up his mind to follow God's word.
所以真正的复兴啊，他一定带着神的道的兴旺。
So the true revival must have the prosperity of the word of God.
而神的道在神的子民中的兴旺呢，一定是离不开一个注重神的道的讲台。
And for the word of God to flourish among God's people, there must be a preacher that keep emphasizing God's word.
那么第三点啊，我们讲的真正的复兴呢，一定会带来真正的悔改。
The third point that we're going to be talking about, how true revivals must bring true repentance.
以斯拉记的第十章的第一节，以斯拉祷告、认罪、哭泣、俯伏在神殿前的时候，由以色列中的男女孩童聚集到以斯拉那里，成了大会，众民无不痛哭。
In Book of Israel, Chapter 10, while Israel prayed and made confessions, weeping and casting him down before the house of God, a very great assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him out of Israel, for the people wept bitterly.
请注意，这个并不是一次常规的聚会。
This is not just a normal gathering.
这个是以斯拉在圣殿前献晚祭时，他祷告、认罪、哭泣，而众百姓呢自发的聚集过来，成了一个大聚会。最后呢，全都哭成一片，全体都悔改。
This is when Israel was offering his night sacrifice before the temple, and he was praying, confessing his sins and weeping, and all the people around Israel just.Voluntarily gather together, and it turns into a big assembly. Everybody is weeping.
这明显是出于神的。
This is obviously a work of God.
而不是出于人的计划。
This is not something people planned.
他们不仅认罪，而且确实的从罪中悔改，去改正他们所犯下的罪。
They don't just confess their sins, but they truly repent from their sins to correct their wrongdoings.
因此我们来总结一下这三点。第一，真正的复兴是神的作为，而不是人所能够计划。
So let's summarize these three points. The first point is, a true revival is what God does. It's not something human can plan.
第二呢，真正的复兴一定带着向神的道的归正。
And the second point, a true revival have to also accompany with returning to God's word.
第三，真正的复兴一定带来真实的悔改。
And the third point, the true revival must bring true repentance.
那么我们要问一个问题，我们能够做什么？
So we want to ask this question. So what can we do here?
对于这三点呢，我提出我们能够做的三点。
Based on these three points, here is the three things that we can do.
第一呢，复兴既是神的作为，而我们无法计划复兴的话，那么我们可以立定心智，预备神的复兴。
On the first point, so if revival is what God does, and we cannot plan it, but we can set up our heart to get prepared for it.
事实上啊，我们看到呢，当真正的大灾难来临的时候呢，人心中没有平安，惶惶不可终日的时候，那时候呢，很多人就会找到教会来。但是我要问的是，教会有没有为此做好预备呢？教会那个时候还有道可听吗？
So we can tell that when big disasters are happening, people don't really have that a peace of mind, and they often seek helps.To the church, but the question that I wanted to ask all the churches is: Are all the churches ready? Does the church really have the gospel, the word that people need to hear when that day actually come?
第二点呢，我们可以像以斯拉一样的尽忠职守，在神的话语上面下功夫，在行道上以身作则。
On the second point, we can be as diligent on studying, doing, teaching God's word like Israel's.So we can spend our efforts on studying on God's word and also lead by examples.
在教导上竭力忠实于神的话语。
And on teaching, we thrive to be faithful to God's word.
第三呢，我们要强调悔改赦罪的道理，因为这是福音的关键。
And on the third point, we should emphasize the doctrine of repentance and forgiveness of the sins because this is the core of the gospel.
这样的看见呢是至关重要的，因为它决定了我们的服事的方向。
These perspectives are crucial because that's what determine the direction of our ministry.
神的话语就是我们服事的重点。
God's word is where we should focus our ministry on.
因此我们教会呢取名叫中道堂，也是显示出我们向神立定心志，要忠实传讲神的话语的决心。
That's why we name our church Faith Bible Church. It is to show that we have set our mind to God and to determine to faithfully preach God's word.
而我们同样用这三点原则，我们去看市面上各种各样的复兴运动，就知道他们背后的信念是什么，他们的错谬在哪里。
And when we use the same three principles to take a look at all this revival movement in the world, then we will know what's the actual faith behind their movement and where their fallacy is.
那么接下来我讲一些错误的方向。
And now we're going to be talking about some of the examples of those fallacies.
我和一些有灵恩背景的弟兄姐妹聊天的时候，聊到传统教会的一些败坏的时候，他们就说传统教会只知道教知识而没有圣灵。
When I have a conversation with some of the brothers and sisters with a charismatic backgrounds, and we talk about the corruption of certain traditional churches,These brothers and sisters often says that is because traditional churches only teach knowledge. There's no spirit.
他们的话中充满对圣经道理的轻看，仿佛在讲一个死的东西。
What they said is full of contempt to the word of Bible, like they are talking to something that's dead.
然后呢，他们就说圣经和圣灵要平衡。
And then they often says that there need to be a balance between the Bible and the Holy Spirit.
我有些话想问他们，但没有说出来，因为我怕他们不能领受，突然翻脸。
I had some questions, but I refrained myself from asking because I feel like they probably won't be able to accept it, and it will just be a meaningless argument.
那么现在我解释给你听，为什么这种观念不对。
But I want to explain to you so you can understand what's wrong with this view.
我们顺着他们的思路啊，假设我们认同圣经和圣灵要平衡的话，那么问题来了。你在讲解圣经的时候，你打算再怎么样再加点圣灵呢？好像你做菜撒点盐一样的。
So let's follow their logic for now. So let's say we want to have some balance between the Bible and the Holy Spirit. So the question is, now you are preaching a verse of the Bible. So how do you decide to add on a little bit of the Holy Spirit, like adding on some salt when you were cooking the dishes. How do you make that decision?
是什么使一个灵恩派的教会比别的教会更加特别而优越呢？是你会操控运作圣灵吗？
What really make a charismatic church really special and appears to be superior to the other churches? Is it because you know how to manipulate the Holy Spirit?
这种观念本身是可证的，这是拜偶像之人对假神的观念。
This idea itself is very despicable. It is a common idea of the idol worshippers.
因为他把圣灵当作一个东西，一种可操控的力量。
Because they treat the Holy Spirit as a thing, as something that, as some power that they can manipulate.
但圣灵是神，他是三位一体的第三位，他是有位格的。
But we know Holy Spirit is God. He is a third personality of the Trinity God, and he is God.
他是主。是在基督徒身上是有主权的。
He is the Lord, and he has his sovereignty on the Christian.
既然他是有主权的，他会选择与谁相亲近。
And because he has sovereignty, he got to pick who he want to get close to.
如果一个人不悔改，又活在罪中，又轻慢神的话语，因为他会说方言，圣灵就亲近他，与他同在吗？这是不可能的。
If a person doesn't want to repent, still live a sinful life.And look down upon God's word. Is the Holy Spirit want to be with him just because he speaks in tongues? Of course not.
圣经是怎么说的？我们来看。
Let's take a look at what the Bible teaches on this.
希伯来书四章十二节说，神的道是活泼的，是有功效的。
In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active."
约翰福音六章六十三节说，叫人活着的乃是灵，肉体是无益的。我对你们所说的话就是灵，就是生命。
In John 6:63, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The word that I have spoken to you are spirit and life."
这里说肉体是无益的，不是说我们的肉身是无用的，而是说在使人活着这个事情上面，肉体是没有帮助的。
Here the verse says, "The flesh is no help at all." It doesn't mean that the flesh is useless. It is saying on the matter of keeping, of entering into the eternal life.Flesh has nothing to do with it.
叫人活着的乃是灵。
What really makes people live is the spirit.
神的话语呢，它不是死的知识，神的话语就是灵，就是生命。
And God's word is not some dead knowledge. It is spirit and it is life.
我们再看《使徒行传》的十六章十四节，有一个卖紫色布丁的妇人，名叫吕底亚，是推雅推拉城的人，素来敬拜神。他听见了。主就开导他的心，叫他留心听保罗所讲的话。
This is in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, the seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul.
这节经文我们看到呢，圣灵和圣经是如何配合工作的。
In this verses, you got to see how the Holy Spirit and Bible work together.
当保罗宣讲神的话语的时候，圣灵就在人心中做奇妙的工作。
When Paul is preaching God's word, Holy Spirit is doing miracle work in people's heart.
那么请问谁负责圣灵的运作呢？
So who is responsible for the act of the Holy Spirit?
当然是圣灵自己嘛，对不对？
It's the Holy Spirit itself.
宣讲圣经是谁的责任呢？
And whose responsibility is it to preach the gospel?
是神的责任还是天使的责任呢？
Is it the responsibility of the God or the angels?
都不是，神把这个责任交托给微小的人类。
It is the responsibility for our small humans.
所以你看出来灵恩运动的问题出在哪里？
So now do you see the problem of the charismatic movement?
他们不相信圣经的充足性，也不相信唯独圣经。
They don't believe in the sufficiency of the Bible, nor do they emphasize the sola scripture.
在人应该尽职的这个神的话语的方面，他们轻忽，认为这个不过是死的知识。
In the aspect of God's word that man should be diligent, they neglect it and despise. They think this is just dead knowledge.
而在人无法负责的圣灵的运作的方面，他们想要去插手，用各种各样的方法。
But in the aspect that man cannot be responsible for in how the Holy Spirit move act, they want to intervene.And they always all kinds of different way.
这就给撒旦留下了很大的欺骗他们的机会。
And this leaves great opportunity for Satan to deceive them.
另外一种错误的侍奉方向就是实用主义。
There is another wrong missionary direction that is pragmatism.
这个是华人教会当中中毒颇深的一种错误，而且非常的隐蔽，不容易让人发现问题在哪里。
This is a mistake that's very deeply rooted in Chinese churches, and usually it's very well hidden. It's not easy for people to notice where the problem is.
我们华人是天然容易中这种毒的。
Chinese are naturally vulnerable to this.
因为中华文化从骨子里啊，就是讲究实用主义的。
Because Chinese culture is about pragmatism from its bone.
中国从古代到现代都是技术发达，科学不发达，为什么
？In China, from the ancient time to modern time, it seems common that the technology is usually very well developed, but the science is underdeveloped.
因为技术你立刻看到它有什么用，而科学到实用，它还是有一段距离的。
Well, the difference is you can see the use of the technology right away, but there is usually a much longer way to go from science to practicality.
所以科学呢，相对是被轻看的，尤其是在古代。
And for that reason, science is usually something that's looked down upon, especially in the ancient time.
所以华人的最自然的思维方式呢，就是这个东西有什么用
？So most common natural logic for Chinese is what's use of this thing?
这种思路呢，表面上是没有问题，但其实是非常短视的。
This logic appeared to be okay, but it's actually very short-sighted.
因为需要等待久一点才能显示出来有用的东西呢，就会被你忽略掉、抛弃掉。
Because things like science that usually take a little bit longer to appear useful usually got neglected and abandoned.
比如说福音
，like gospel.
所以出于这个原因呢，就开始有人强调基督信仰的实用的部分，用这些来吸引人。
And for that particular reason, some people started to emphasize where the practicality of the gospel to attract people.
所以教会里面的夫妻关系啊、亲子教育啊这类事工就非常火热的冒出来。
So ministries like how to have a better marriage life, how to better educate your kids, these ministries become very popular.
不错，基督徒是会夫妻和睦，是会教子有方。
It is true that a Christian usually have a good marriage life and is usually good at educating the next generation.
但是这个不是福音，这个只是福音所结的外在的果子。
But this is not gospel. This is merely just the fruit of the gospel.
所以当教会用这些来代替福音事工的时候，就冲淡了真正的福音，也模糊了人真正的需要，是对福音的需要。
When the church wants to try to replace the true gospel with these things, it dilutes the true gospel and it blurs people's real need. That is the need to gospel.
因为很多教会往这个方向去了，需求增多了。神学院里面的这方面的课程的比重、也会提高。
Because many churches went into this direction and there seems to be an increase in the demand, so in the seminary there's also a much higher share of the courses on these topics, right, in the nowadays.
什么心理咨询啊、冲突管理啊、教会增长学啊，各种各样的课程就开设出来。
Like courses like psychological counselings or conflicts management or church growth methodology, these churches start to appear.
问题是一个正常的道学硕士只有三年时间、你把这些加进来，你打算把什么删除掉呢
？But the problem is, usually for you to finish a Master of Divinity, you only have 3 years to do it. If you add in all these courses, what are you going to get rid of to make enough time?
最后呢，就是像护教学、像希腊文这样的其实很重要的课程被删除掉。
What usually ended up getting deleted out of the courses is apologetics or Greeks. These very important lessons.Ended up being deleted.
这个真的是令人扼腕叹息啊！把垃圾捡进来，把珍珠丢出去。
What a pity it is to pick in the trashes and throw out the pearl.
我看一个神学院、有没有 liberal 的倾向呢？我基本上看他的课程表就可以知道。
You can pretty much tell if a seminary is liberal or not by just looking at its class schedule.
如果这种所谓的实用型的课程啊，它超过10%的话，它就有跑偏的倾向。
If more than 10% of his classes are these so-called practical classes, then it has this tendency of deviating from the truth.
提摩太后书第四章第三节，保罗说：“因为时候要到，人必厌烦纯正的道理，耳朵发痒，就随从自己的情欲，增添好些师傅。”
In 2 Timothy 4:3-4, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teachings, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions.
所以你看见吗？偏离真道的一个前兆，就是厌烦纯正的道理，并且加添上许多形形色色的师傅。
So do you see, one of the signs of deviating from the truth is not endure sound teaching and accumulate for themselves teachers.
好一些神学院的心理学教授其实基本上只是上过世俗的心理学的学位，没有上过神学院。
Many of the psychological professors in the seminary usually only had a degree of psychological in the worldly university. They never went to a seminary.
这样的人就算他是一个基督徒，因为他没有受过神学的教育，他没有受过专门的识别和抵挡错谬的训练。
Even if such person is a Christian, but he's never trained by the seminary, which means he's also not trained to recognize and resist the error.
这样世俗心理学的错谬就可以经过他渗透到他神学院的学生，进而污染到许许多多的教会。
And through him, the fallacies and errors of the secular psychology can influence all the other students in the seminary, and as a result, influence impact many of the church.
而可怕的部分在于这里，许多教会领袖他根本不在乎心理学合不合乎圣经和教会给教会讲台带来什么样的污染。
But this is where the scary part is, where the control failed, that a lot of the church leader doesn't really care about the part of psychology that's non-biblical.
他们用他们事工的结果来为不合乎圣经的事工辩护。
They defend their ministry with the result of those so-called ministry.
他们说，你看，教会人数增加了，大家的侍奉也火热起来，哪里不好了？
They will say, look, there's a growing in number of in the church, and people are being very active in all kinds of ministry. What's wrong with that?
合不合圣经的原则，合不合神的心意，他们不管。
Whether it is biblical, whether it is what God's like, they don't really care.
他们假设教会人数增多了，神就满意了。
Their assumption is, if there is a growing in the number in the church, God must be satisfied.
这个就是实用主义的可怕之处，因为那表面看起来的果效，将人迷惑。
And this is what's terrible about the pragmatism, because the effect that appears on the surface confuses people.
福音书中主耶稣受到魔鬼的巨大试探之一就是实用主义。
One of the greatest temptations that our Lord Jesus went through is pragmatism.
马太福音四章的第八到第十节，我给大家读。魔鬼又带他上了一座最高的山，将世上的万国与万国的荣华都指给他看。对他说，你若俯伏拜我，我就把这一切都赐给你。耶稣说，撒旦，退去吧，因为经上记着说，当拜主你的神，当要侍奉他。
In Matthew 4, verses 8 to 10, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Be gone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
主耶稣来本来就是要做王的，世上的万国都要成为主基督的国，这个是人类历史的大结局。
Our Lord Jesus come to be a king. All the kingdom of the world will be part of Jesus' kingdom, and this is how the human history will end.
但是呢，魔鬼给主耶稣建议了一条捷径。
But the demon seems to be offering a shortcut to Jesus.
你不用上十字架，你只需要来敬拜我，这一切全是你的。这样子，你的任务不就一下子就完成了吗？何必要走那个又麻烦又艰难的十字架窄路呢？
You don't have to go under the cross. All you need to do is bow down and worship me, and I'll give all of these to you, and then your mission is completed. Why bother walk the difficult and painful narrow road?
主耶稣抵挡了他，说：“当拜主你的神，当当侍奉他。”
But our Lord Jesus declined his offer and says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only."
可见，对于侍奉神而言，如果没有合神心意的过程和方式的话，结果是毫无意义的。
So you can tell in the matter of serving God, if you're not doing it based on what God's like, God's wills, the result, the outcome is meaningless.
可是许多的教会领袖他没有从主耶稣受试探的这个例子中学到教训，他们轻松的被蒙蔽了，使得实用主义的毒可以轻松的进入到大量的教会。
But many of the church leaders never learned this lesson from the examples of Jesus when he was tempted. So they got blindfolded and they can't see the fallacy, the errors and the influence of the pragmatism anymore, and these courses, ministries flows into churches in massive order.
所以无论是灵恩运动还是实用主义，他们背后的立场是有共同点的。
So there is a very common point on the, behind the, a charismatic movement or pragmatism.
他们都不相信复兴单单出自神的主权，因而他们信靠各样师父那里学来的神奇的方法去创造人的复兴。
They don't believe that revival solely comes from the sovereignty of God, so they depend themselves on all kinds of different methodology that they learn from different teachers.
他们不相信圣经的充足性，他们认为光讲圣经是不够的，必须要加点别的佐料。
They don't believe in the sufficiency of the Bible. They think just preaching the Bible is not enough. You have to add something else.
所以呢，一个呢去加圣灵啊，加引号的圣灵。
So one of them try to add some little bit of a Holy Spirit.
另外一个呢去加上各种人发明的方法。
And the other try to add different kind of methodology invented by man.
这个就是我们和他们的最本质的区别。
And this is our fundamental differences with them.
我们相信圣经是充足完备的。
We believe the Bible is sufficient and complete.
我们相信圣经被忠实的传讲的时候会带着巨大的力量能够改变人的生命。
We believe the Bible carry great power when it's faithfully preached and can change people's life.
那个是圣灵的力量借着神的道彰显出来。
That is the presence of the Holy Spirit's power through God's word.
我们相信教会的成长应该是由神的道来驱动，而不是由人的方法来驱动的。
We believe that the church growth is driven by the word of God, but not by man's methodology.
那么我们现在接下来来看圣经中给我们清楚显明的复兴之路。
And now let's look at the road of the revival that is clearly revealed in the Bible to us.
约翰福音三章的十四、十五节，主耶稣说：“摩西在旷野怎样举蛇，人子也必照样被举起来，叫一切信他的都得永生。”
In John chapter 3, verses 14 to 15.And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
我们再看约翰福音的十二章的三十二到三十四节，主耶稣说：“我若从地上被举起来，就要吸引万人来归我。”耶稣说这话，原是指着自己将要怎样死说的。众人回答说：“我们听见律法上有话说，基督是永存的，你怎么说人子必须被举起来呢？”这人子是谁呢？
And in John chapter 12, verses 32 to 34, and I went, and when I am lifted up from earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you see that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?"
主耶稣说他被举起来啊，是指着他的死而说的。
When Jesus is saying he's going to be lifted up, he's referring to his death.
而世人所不能够接受的是为全地的救主的基督为什么会被钉在十字架上举起来。
But people cannot accept that the Jesus Christ, the salvation of the whole world, will be lifted up and nailed to the cross.
但神就是这样定义的，神要拯救那些愿意归向那位被钉在十字架上看起来软弱无力的基督的人。
But this is how God planned, that he will save those who are willing to submit to the one that are nailed to the cross,who seems weak, Jesus, these are the person to be saved.
哥林多前书的一章十八节，保罗说：“因为十字架的道理，在那灭亡的人为愚拙，在我们得救的人却为神的大能。”
In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
主耶稣他自己会吸引万人来归向他。
Our Lord Jesus will attract all the people to him by himself.
这些人呢，是那些相信十字架的救恩的人。
These are the people who believe in the salvation on the cross.
我们所要做的就是将钉十字架的耶稣基督高高的举起来。
And all we need to do is lift up the Jesus that's nailed on the cross.
这样被吸引过来的人呢，都是真正蒙神拣选而得救的人，而不会是假得救的挂名基督徒。
And what's attracted by the Jesus that we lifted up is going to be the person, the people who are actually selected, the one who is going to be truly saved by God, not those nominal Christians.
这样的事工理念的背后啊，是对神的主权的坚定的信靠。
Behind this ministry is a firm trust to God's sovereignty.
主耶稣他正是这样事工的。
And this is exactly how Jesus does his ministry.
他从来不去巴结讨好那些不愿意听他讲道的人。
He never tried to be friendly and make friends with the people who don't want to listen to him.
他也不惧怕有人因为不喜欢他的讲道而离开他。
And he's never feared that people may leave him because they don't like the message that he preaches.
因为他知道呢，每一个属神的人都会被天父吸引到他这里来。
Because he knows every people that is belong to God will be attracted to him.
同样的，我们也相信神会把交托给我们的人带到我们中间来。
Similarly, we also believe that God will bring the people that he entrusted to us to us.
我们不必要也不能够用妥协真道的方法去吸引那些本来没有交托给我们的人。
We cannot, and it's not necessary for us to compromise the truth to attract the people who are not supposed to be entrusted to us.
事实上呢，除了圣经所启示的事工方向，我们别无他路可走。
And as a matter of fact, other than the direction that Bible revealed, we don't really have another option.
有时候我们同工弟兄之间聊天的时候呢，也有人会困惑，到底我们有没有走对路？为什么我们教会还是这么小？
Sometimes when the brothers and the co-worker brothers sisters have a conversation, some of us may get confused as well. Are we sure that we are working on the right path? Because why are our numbers are so low?
这时候呢，我就会适时的提醒，否则你想怎么样？选择是不存在的。
So this is usually when I want to remind us that how would you do otherwise? Because there isn't really another option.
神的话语决定了这条十架载路是我们唯一能走的路。
God's words has to tell us and determined that this is the only word, the road of the cross and the narrow road is the only road that we can walk on.
难道去学那些搞花样的教会增长学吗？
Otherwise, are we going to learn all those so-called church growth methodology?
那个是宗教里面的过家家游戏。
That is just a religious game.
我宁可什么都不做，也不会去走那种自欺欺人的路。
I would rather do nothing than walk on the self-deceptive road.
其实呢，我心里是知道为什么我们教会还这么小的。
Well, I actually have some idea on why our church is so small.
第一呢，这确实是窄路，不要指望看到很多的人。
First, it is a narrow road, so we are not expecting many people in the beginning.
第二呢，我们的时间还没有到，我们需要多一点耐心，等候神的时间。
And second, our time is not here yet. We need a little bit more patience and wait for God's time.
约翰福音中另外有一处经文也指出了这个复兴的秘诀。
There is another verses in John that also review the secrets of a revival.
约翰福音的十五章的第四到第八节，我给大家读一下：你们要藏在我里面，我也藏在你们里面。枝子若不藏在葡萄树上，自己就不能结果子。你们若不藏在我里面，也是这样。我是葡萄树，你们是枝子。藏在我里面的，我也藏在他里面。这人就多结果子，因为离了我，你们就不能做什么。人若不藏在我里面，就像枝子丢在外面枯干，人拾起来扔在火里烧了。你们若藏在我里面，我的话也藏在你们里面。凡你们所愿意的，祈求就给你们成就。你们多结果子，我父就因此得荣耀，你们也就是我的门徒了。
In John 15 verses 4-8, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit.For apart from you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified and you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples.
这段经文啊，我听过许多的这个传道人解释过了，但没有一个让我满意的。
I've heard a lot of different explanations on these verses from different preachers, but none of them really satisfies me.
因为讲来讲去啊，听的人云里雾里啊，都没有讲出怎么样才能够藏在基督里。
Because all those explanations does not tell you how do you abide in Jesus.
其实真正的道理是非常简单直白的。
But the actual truth is actually very simple and clear.
你怎么样开始在基督里的，你就怎么样保持在基督里。
The way that you started in Jesus is the way that you abide in Jesus.
你是怎么样开始在基督里的，是因为信福音，对不对？
So how did you start in Jesus? It is because you believed in gospel, right?
我们说，当你相信主耶稣之后啊，神看你呢，就不再是看到你这样一个罪人，而是看到他的独生爱子。
We often say that when you become a Christian, the Lord does not see you as a sinner anymore, but as His beloved Son.
主耶稣呢，就像是一个飞机，把我们从这个世界运到天堂去的飞机。
Lord Jesus is just like an aircraft that He carries us from the earth to the heaven.
所以从外面看过来呢，看不见我们这个人，而是看见这个飞机。
So when you look it from the outside, you don't really see individual person. You see the aircraft.
这个呢是道理的一方面，还有经常被忽略掉的另一方面。
This is just one aspect of this theory. There is another aspect of it.
我们从这个飞机里面看出去啊，我们看到的是天上的视角，而不是我们原来的那个自我中心的地上的视角。
When we look outside of the aircraft, what we are seeing is through a perspective of the heaven. It's no longer the old perspective of earth.
所以从一个人的所思所想，从他看问题的视角，是不是在基督里的视角，可以看出来这个人有没有藏在基督里。
So you can tell whether a person is in Christ or not by the person's perspective, whether he is viewing things from heavenly view or the old earthly view.
所以怎么样才能够藏在基督里呢？
So how do you abide in Christ?
藏在福音里就是藏在基督里。
Abide in the gospel is abiding in Christ.
福音要成为你所传讲的信息的核心。
Gospel need to be the core of all the messages that you preach.
福音要成为你的观念的核心。
It also need to be the core of all your perspectives.
福音要成为你生命的核心。
It also need to be the core of your life.
所以这样的人呢，他的标记呢就是十字架。
And there is a mark for people like this, and that is the cross.
这个也是我们整个系列讲下来一直所强调的，你要背着你的十字架，而且是天天背着。
And this is what this entire series keep emphasizing, that is you need to bear your cross, and you need to bear it every day.
所以弟兄姐妹们，我来挑战你一下。
So I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters here.
你是不是一个生命中有十字架的印记的人？
Does your life has the mark of the cross?
甚至是别人都可以看得到的。
Can other people see the mark of the cross in your life?
这样的人，他就是一个住在基督里的人。
Because such person is a person that's abiding in God, in Christ.
主耶稣应许了，这样的人呢，他要多结果子，无论是他自己内在生命的果子，还是外在的果子。
And the Lord has promised that people like this will bear many fruits, both the internal fruits and the fruit that will appear on the outside.
福音除了使人得救以外啊，福音还结出很多额外的果子。
Other than the salvation, the gospel also will bear a lot of external fruit.
如我们前面所提到的这个夫妻和睦啊，教子有方啊等等，或者更进一步延伸到社会层面，它会带来政治的清明、社会的和谐等等。
Those external fruits are like the healthy, happy marriage life that we mentioned, or good at educating the next generation. And when it extended further into the social and society, it also will bring the healthy political structure, also will bring harmony to the society.
但这些外在的果子都只是果子而已，它不是福音本身。
But all of these things, as good as they may look like, they are just the fruit. They are not the gospel themselves.
所以教会如果不抓住福音这个核心，而抓住那些外在的果子的话，那就是捡了芝麻丢了西瓜。
So if the church does not grab the core of the gospel and just grab the fruit, then the church is being penny wise and pound foolish.
那些不连接于福音的外在的果子啊，就像什么？就像是塑料的苹果一样，它有苹果的样子，却没有苹果的味道啊。
Those fruit that is not connected to the gospel is just like a plastic apple. They look like an apple, but they don't really taste like apple anymore.
我曾经听过一个华人神学院的院长带领的退休会，完全听不下去。
I used to participate in the retreat that leads by a dean from a Chinese seminary. I can't stand it at all.
他是在讲夫妻关系的退休会。
The retreat is about having a healthy marriage life.
讲点心灵鸡汤的小故事，来点心理学的方法，这个就算是教会的事工了。
It's all about a little bit of like a chicken soup, a spiritual chicken soup, or a little bit of methodology from modern psychological methodology. This is called ministry of the church.
这个跟福音有一毛钱的关系吗？
But this has nothing to do with gospel at all.
甚至跟神的话语连边都沾不上。
They are not even like remotely connected to God's word.
这些方法或许对一些糟糕的夫妻关系改善有一点帮助。
these methodologies might be used for to improve some of the terrible marriage relationship.
但是在克制人的罪性上，在提高人的灵命上是毫无帮助的。
But it is useless in restraining people's sinful nature and improving people's spiritual life.
这样的夫妻关系啊，对比那种夫妻二人各自舍己，在基督里一同长进，彼此相爱，彼此扶持，带着基督的馨香之气的夫妻关系，那个是瓦块比珍珠，根本没得比的。
So this kind of relationship is far behind, far worse than in the marriage life that's in Christians, where the husband and the wife deny themselves, grow together, love each other, support each other, and their relationship has the fragrance of Christ. If you compare this relationship to the worldly relationship, it's like comparing a pearl to dirt.
这样的事工呢，可以用一个成语来形容，叫做狗尾续貂。简单的说呢，就是假冒伪劣产品。
And these ministry are really just fake and shoddy products.
另外呢，也有曾经有神学上比较保守的姐妹啊，劝诫我不要去谈论政治。她的理由是呢，许多涉及政治或者社会事工的教会，最终都变成自由派。
Another conversation I once had with a very conservative sisters on the theologies.She was advising me to not talk about politics because a lot of the churches that were talking about politics or social matters ended up being liberal churches.
这点上呢，我跟她有相同的观察，但是有不同的判断。
I share the same observation with her, but my conclusion on this matter is different.
这些教会的问题和华人教会里面实用主义的问题是同一个问题。
The issues of these churches is exactly the same issues in the Chinese Christian churches where pragmatism is popular.
他们渐渐变成自由派，不是因为涉足了政治或者社会事工或者是夫妻关系的事工而成为自由派的。
The reason they gradually become liberal is not because they are starting to talk about politics or social affairs or start to have ministry about a marriage relationship.
他们变成自由派的原因是因为他们离开了福音这个核心。
The reason they become liberal is because they have left the core of gospel.
这些正是主耶稣所说的一个不藏在基督里的人，他就像是一个枯干的树干，不能够结果子。
This is exactly what our Lord Jesus was saying. A person who is not abiding Christ is like a dry branches, and it cannot bear fruit.
他们可能可以假冒一些塑料的果子出来。但结不出带着基督馨香之气的福音的果子来。
They may bear some fake plastic fruit, but they will not be able to have any true fruits with the fragrance of Christ.
直到今天，我仍然是不避讳讲政治的。
Till today, I still don't shy away from speaking to politics.
接下来的三周呢，我会在北美保守评论还会做三期透过圣经看政治的节目。
In the next 3 weeks, I'm gonna be doing a program in the North American Conservative Review Channel, and those programs is going to be about looking at the politics through the view of Bible.
这些呢，大家不用去看，因为等到大选年的时候，我会在我们自己教会再讲一次。
You don't have to watch that because in the election years, I'm going to repeat this, repeat those what I taught in that program again in our own church.
盼望呢，能够帮助弟兄姐妹们能够合神心意的参政。
I hope that can help the brothers and the sisters to participate in politics areas that God's please.
我讲政治呢，并非是因为我喜欢讲，而是因为我相信神在每个领域都有主权。
And I talk about politics not because I like to talk about politics, but because I believe that God has sovereignty in every area.
福音的果子，它也是能够延伸到政治领域的。
And the fruit of the gospel can also extend its impact into the politics area.
11月份的这个中期选举啊，马上要到了，我也督促弟兄姐妹们，有投票资格的，要按照神的心意去投出你的一票。
The midterm election in November is coming near, so I urge the brothers and sisters who has a right to vote to vote based on God's will.
没有投票资格的，请你为中期选举祷告，为这个国家祷告。使神的公平和公义能够在这个国家的政治中彰显。
And if you can't vote, please pray for the midterm election. Also pray for this country. Pray that God's justice and righteousness can be reviewed in this country's politics.
而对于政治活动和社会事工涉入很多的弟兄姐妹，我也要提醒。
But I also have a reminder for the brothers and sisters who are involved a lot in the politics activities.
你所做的一切不要忘记呢，都要为神而做，为福音而做。
Don't remember that. Don't forget that everything that you do, you are doing it for God.
不要耻于向那些拉票的对象传福音。
Don't be ashamed to preach the gospel to those you canvass for or those you care for.
不要耻于向你服侍关怀的对象传福音。
Don't be ashamed to preach the gospel to the people that you minister and care for.
因为福音才是你的核心。
Because gospel is the core of your life and your work.
你如果是一个常住在基督里的人的话，这样的福音视角才是你应该要看到的视角。
And if you are a person that's abiding Christ, this view, it should be the view that you always seeing from the perspective of the heaven.
这样你必多结果子，荣耀上帝。
And then you will bear a lot of fruit, and you will glorify God.
最后我们来总结一下。
And let's summarize today's message.
今天我们讲的第一点呢，耶稣基督是教会的建立者，按照神的原则的服事才是合神心意的服事。
The first point we talk about is Jesus Christ is the founder of the church, and a ministry that's pleasing God's, that's done according to God's principle is what God pleases.
第二点呢，真正的复兴是神的作为，人是没有办法计划的，但人可以预备自己。
And the second point is a true revival is what God does. There's nothing people can plan for it, but you can prepare for it.
第三点呢，真正的复兴一定带来向神的话语的归正。
The third point is a true revival must be accompanied with returning to God's word.
第四点呢，真正的复兴一定带来真实的悔改。
And the fourth point, the true revival also will bring true repentance.
第五点呢，真正的复兴是以耶稣基督并他钉十字架为中心的。
The fifth point is the true revival is centered in Jesus Christ and Him being nailed on the cross.
第六点，真正的复兴是以福音为核心的。
And then the sixth point, the true revival is centered in gospel.
让我们一同来祷告。
Let's pray together.
亲爱的父神，我们感谢赞美你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you.
我们感谢主你带我们走过的这段路程。
We thank you for the path that you lead us through.
我们将这个系列交在主你的手中，愿主你使用。
We put a series of sermons in your hand, and may you use it.
使我们众弟兄姐妹都能够真正的明白什么是跟随你，成为主你的门徒。
So that all the brothers and the sisters can truly understand what it means to follow you.
愿父神因你的儿女们得着全部的荣耀。
May you be glorified through your sons and daughters.
带领我们走这永生的道路。
Lead us on this life, on this road to the eternal life.
我们的感谢和祷告都是奉我主耶稣基督的圣名。
And our praise and thanks are in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.